Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Hollywood Improv Lab. Make some noise. You guys are the right place for comedy. Welcome to Story Smash, the storytelling game show. Let's bring up our host of the evening. Yeah, yeah. She's the creator and host. Please welcome to the stage, Christine Blackburn.
All right. Welcome. Welcome to Story Smash, the storytelling game show. My name is Christine Blackburn. You guys are here on a fabulous night. By a round of applause, who has never been to Story Smash before? What's happening? Where have you been, you guys? You are in for such a big treat, and we are going to get this show started right away by revealing the Wheel of Stories. There are 12 permanent topics on the wheel. When the contestant spins the wheel, whatever topic they land on, they'll tell a true story. There's also a space that says wild, or does it say free? It says free. If they land on free, then they can tell any story topic on the wheel. There's also three spaces that say audience. And if the contestant lands on one of the audience spaces, and they always do, then you guys will throw out your favorite story topics, and our expert judges will choose one of them for the storyteller to tell their story on. Yeah? You got it?
Yeah.
All right, so start thinking of story topics, because somebody's going to land on audience. Yeah? All right. And speaking of expert judges, let's get right to them, you guys. The first judge coming to the stage is one of the funniest people you will ever follow on Twitter. He is a writer on Mystery Science Theater 3000, and he also writes for a lot of award shows. But I have to say, the most importantly, he once hooked up with a woman at a White Snake concert. Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Oswalt. Woo! Here he is.
It was a docking concert.
All right, I am super excited for this next judge. She is a singer, songwriter, and an actress best known for her role as Erica Goldberg on the ABC sitcom The Goldbergs. And when she isn't immersed in the 1980s, she can be found down in Nashville, Tennessee, where she focuses most of her time on music. She's super, super talented, you guys. Her upcoming EP titled The Way Out will be released on March 21st. You guys, put your hands together for the one and only Haley Orentia. Haley! Alright, and our final judge tonight, you guys, he's been a regular here on Story Smash for at least a year and a half. How about that? He's an Emmy award-winning television writer and executive producer of ABC's Modern Family, which is heading into its 11th and final year. Can you believe it? And holding in my left hand is his new book out right now called He Started It, which chronicles his Twitter war with our president, Donald Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, Danny Zucker, put your hands together. Yeah! Woo! Alright. Danny Zucker's here, you guys. Okay.
I also have an EP coming out called The Way Out as well.
It happens every time.
I know.
Now, Danny and Matt, these guys have judged the show before, so you guys have been here. Haley, you're new at this?
I am.
So just take their lead.
Okay.
Here's how we're going to play the game. We're going to play three
just
rounds
take bribes,
tonight.
That's what she means.
That's right. We're going to play three rounds. The first round, the storytellers are going to tell a true one-minute story. The second round, a true two-minute story.
Yeah.
And then, Danny, you guys have the very difficult job of choosing two storytellers.
Yeah, it's often super easy.
To go on to the third round. And then those two storytellers will tell a true three-minute story. So, Haley, what do you think would be easiest?
It feels like 10.
What do you think would be easiest to tell, Haley? A one, two, or three-minute story?
Oh, I feel like three because I talk for hours. But yeah. I don't know. It's going to be up in the air, I guess.
Yeah, well, the first round is quite challenging.
Yeah.
And none of this is easy to do. So you guys be kind out there, would you?
All right.
Yeah?
Trust me. It can be brutal.
Well, it's brutal. There's also an audience member who's going to play tonight, and that's always fun, right, Danny?
That's my favorite part. Usually.
It is the audience member?
They're usually quite terrible.
Yeah.
So, it just makes it easier
Stop
for
talking
us.
About my dad that way.
And when the contestant comes to the stage, I'm going to hold up this sign, and I'm going to say, tell him what to do, and then you say...
That wheel.
Okay, these guys were much better than these guys back here. Let's try it again one more time. What are you going to tell them to do?
Spin that wheel.
See, now I think they'll do it. I really think they'll do it. Don't you think?
I do.
This is the worst timeshare ever, Christine.
All right, you guys, let's get started right away. These names are going to be called out randomly. Randomly, the storytellers are coming up, and the first storyteller coming up, I got it in my right hand, she is not only a stand-up comedian, but she's a graduate of USC's screenwriting program and a journalist for Hustler magazine. How about that? She has also authored quite a few books, including Hell's Games, which I read, and it was scary. It's horror. And also the Red Lantern Scandals. You guys, please welcome Teresa Lowe. Here she comes. All right, tell them what to do, guys.
Wheel.
There she goes. A true one-minute story coming up. It's a hell of a spin.
The wheel takes 10, though.
Okay. Oh. Vacation.
So my family and I, we like to spend our Christmas vacations in Vegas. And my mom, she has a really bad sense of direction, but we never really understand how bad it was until we went to a buffet. And so she's like, don't leave me, don't leave me. But of course, we like left her at the buffet. We didn't think it was a big deal. And then we sit down, we eat. And then for 15 minutes, we realize, like, where is she? Where does she go? And so we went back to the buffet. It turns out she's by the salad bar, completely lost. Like, oh, God, they left me. And we just felt so, so terrible. And so after that, we've never left her alone by herself.
Oh, Teresa Lowe. Woo-hoo. Teresa Lowe. All right, now. There was only 35 seconds to that story, which is not a bad thing. You know, she didn't go over time. You know, you don't want to go over, because if you go over, what do you hear? Right. Yeah. So we didn't have to hear that, right?
We didn't have to hear that.
Danny, what do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously points have to be taken off for being short. I mean, it's got to be a stickler. You know, salad bars. No, you have a better relationship. Like, I've lost my mom and been relieved, so you have a better relationship. So I congratulate you on that.
Matt Oswalt.
If it was at Sizzler, like, bar, or one of those, like, fixin's bars, it would have been a little bit more, probably would have fit the minute. But the salad bar, not much is going on there. It's just, like, salad and croutons and dressing. You know, you don't have, like, the whole smorgasbord, especially. So, yeah, 30 seconds.
Haley or Antia?
I feel like I've had the panic of being lost as a child, so yeah. I get your poor mom was probably very scared. But at the same time, why couldn't she just come find you?
Because her sense of direction was so bad.
Oh, okay. That
now, Teresa, sense. Her parents are actually here in the audience. I saw them over there. So they
actually, her mom is missing.
Yeah. At least you found your way here.
She got lost at the chocolate waterfall.
All right, you guys. Teresa Lowe, let her hear it. Woo! Okay, that's how we play the game. That's how we do it. Now, these guys are taking notes. It's very exciting. And we're going to keep moving along right now. This next contestant coming to the stage is an actor and a comedian. You've seen him on quite a few television shows like Entourage, The Closer, Will and Grace, George Lopez, Everybody Hates Chris, House, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, just to name a few. He's also most popular for playing Dr. Thomas, the gay family therapist on My Wife and Kids. He's here right now. You guys, put your hands together for Jason Stewart.
Woo!
All right. Tell them what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Oh, my God. I'm so... Okay. Oh, it's time to spin...
This is the wheel.
And thank you. Okay, the music's going to play. Oh, here it is. Okay. Now I have to do this. This is so nerve-wracking. You guys have no idea. I've been nervous all day. I have such an anxiety attack, and I'm Jewish, so I have to call someone. Okay. Now I'm trying to manipulate this. Christine.
You're cutting into the time.
No, I gotta spin it harder than that, man. It's gotta go all the way around. It didn't go all the way around. Spin it again.
Oh, God.
There we go. There we go.
The directions were don't spin it too hard.
But not too hard.
Not that I'm blaming anyone.
Right.
I'm angry and I'm sad. I'm lonely. This is so nerve-wracking. I just want to kill myself and a couple other people.
Oh, it's about to get more nerve-wracking.
Oh, my God!
Oh.
Holidays.
Okay. So, I'm gay and Jewish, so I'm pissed. And my mother is... I'm a mama's boy. So every time when I was a kid, my mom and I, we would go on vacation with my dad, who she divorced because she was having sex with too many other people. And my mom is really very funny and wonderful. She's now 81 and still shops at Forever 71. And she's really great. So when I was a kid, my mother would go to the beach. She would wear complete makeup, complete hair, complete jewelry, and a leopard bathing suit. That's why I'm gay. And she's very flamboyant. My mom's had 4 husbands, 2 she married, 2 she killed. And so she'd go to the beach, she would wear these high heels. So when she walked on the beach in her high heels in the 70s in the sand, she'd walk like this. Lenny, watch my pocketbook, here I come. Oi, I'm ovulating. There's sand up my ass. I'm wearing a Wonder Bra. My tits are going, I wonder how we got up here. And that's my mom, and I love her. And we would do that all the time when we were on vacation in Marina Del Rey. Thank you so much.
All right.
Wow. Yeah.
Jason Stewart.
Oh, God, that was nerve-wracking.
Matt Oswalt.
Hold on, Pat, just a second. I have to pull myself together. All right, now I can listen to you. Go ahead.
My question is your mom single?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
She's ready. She's 81. Okay, she's ready. She's ready for the fifth husband, number five.
You vacationed in Marina Del Rey?
Yes, that's where we were.
Are you from Los Angeles?
Well, New York originally.
Oh, okay.
But we would come here when I was a kid and go to Marina Del Rey.
Okay. Gotcha.
So you call a vacation a holiday? Because there's two different things on the wheel. There's holidays and then there's vacations.
Oh.
So was your vacation like a holiday?
Yes, it was. It was a holiday.
Interesting.
And it all happened in Christmas.
It was a Jewish holiday called Bachru. It's a very obscure holiday.
All the Jews go to Marina Del Rey.
We did. We used to go
such
all the time.
Such a cliche. The Jews going to Marina Del Rey on Haruch.
In the 70s, that's where you would go, honestly, Marina Del Rey, because it was a fake beach, and it was cleaner, and it looked new. My mother didn't want anything old.
And all the Goyas at Pacific Palisades.
All the Goyas?
Is that what it is?
No, honey, you're a Goy.
What, a Goya?
Not a Goya. Goya is something Goya? You cut out of your neck.
Oh, shit. Okay, I'm sorry.
Well, this is all new information for me.
I'm sorry. We're learning.
No, it's all good. Haley, what did you think of the story?
Haley, you're very attractive, and the makeup is killer. I just have to say that.
Just keep going, and I'm higher the points.
Yeah, the earrings are not too much. I like them. I don't care what your mother said.
Well, I will say I was trying to keep up with you in your story, but you're very funny, and so it didn't really matter at that point what was going on. I thought it was very funny.
All right, Danny Zucker.
I was just mostly aroused throughout it.
Danny.
I'm just, full disclosure.
Danny, that's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me.
My mom has killed two husbands as well. Is also 81. I don't think quite the whore your mom is. In all candor, and proud of it. I think my mom was just a frigid
Jason's
old lady.
Jason's mom, stand up and say hi.
She wouldn't come here. It's too cold. I should be in Palm Springs. That should be.
All right, you guys. Jason Stewart, let him hear it. All right. Moving right along in the first round. The next storyteller coming to the stage is our audience member. Oh, this is exciting. Ooh. So somebody out here is playing. Danny Zucker, go ahead and draw that person's name and announce who's coming up to play the game.
Okay. Our audience member is Iris Lascano.
Iris Lascano. All right, come on up. Iris Lascano, welcome. We're so glad you're here. Thank you so much. You guys be extra kind, would you? Now tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
All right, Iris.
Look, I don't want to jinx this, but I predict this is going to be the best story of the night. Yeah. Story to beat.
Don't put the pressure on her like that, Danny. Come on, you're going to psych her out.
No. Oh.
Oh.
Oh, she almost landed on audience, but she landed on mom.
Okay, so I'm going to tell that one night I went out with my friends and I drank so much. And then next day my mom was going to pick me up. And then when she was driving, I just had to open the door of the car and how do you say when you throw up? Okay, so then it was red because I had been drinking some Spanish kind of drink. And she thought it was blood. You say blood? And then she was super, super scared and worried. But I just wanted to say, like, oh, it was a plum. This kind of fruit, I don't know how to say. And she is super naive and super innocent and she believed me. And I was like, really? Okay. Super happy. But then when I got home, then my mom told the story to my dad, and luckily my dad was like more like normal, and he said, "Oh, come on, your daughter just got super drunk last night." That's it. Thank you.
All right, Iris. Wow, look at the time. She landed on exactly 1 minute, which
that's
is
tough
just
to,
perfect.
No, it's hard to do.
It's hard to do.
Yes, just so what part of Alabama are you from? Originally.
From the north.
Hey, that is a super hard thing to do. You came up here, you did it. I'm assuming second language, maybe? Third language? Second? Okay. That's hard. I'm equivocating. It was a delightful story.
Thank you.
All right, Haley, yeah. What did you think?
I think it was a great story. I think it was funny. I've also experienced the getting away with something and one parent not getting it and the other one totally getting it. So I think you did great.
Was that a drinking situation, Haley?
You know, I actually got away with the drinking thing. I drank, it was Mike's Hard Lemonade, but it was the red one.
Oh.
And then my friend threw up all over my bed. And in the middle of the night, I had to go wash the sheets and dry them before my parents woke up and successfully did it. So
was that a girlfriend or a boyfriend?
A friend of mine.
Yeah.
Not
okay.
Like a girlfriend. You know what I'm saying?
No, I get it. No, that's great. That's great. All right, Matt Oswalt.
How you say charming. Great story. I love that one. That was great.
Muy bonita.
Muy bonita. Yeah. So, really nice story. I love a good vomit story, you know?
Who doesn't?
So, yeah.
All right, let her hear it, you guys. Iris, way to go. Thank you. What was Iris's last name again? Iris Lozano, right? Iris Lozano, excellent. All right, well, that was super fun. Thank you for playing. All right, coming up to the stage right now for a true 1 minute story. That's right, a 1 minute story. This contestant began her show business career at the age of 11 months old when she was picked off the streets to be the Gerber baby. No kidding. Now, she discovered the harsh realities of show business when she was replaced 1 month later for being too old. And since then, she's worked as a stand-up, a TV writer and producer, and a celebrity interviewer. Her original web series called Ye Olde News was a finalist in the 2017 David Zucker Circa LOL Awards for Best Web Series. You guys, please welcome Jennifer Valley. All right, here she comes.
Yay.
Tell her what to do.
Oh, Jennifer Valley's here.
Yay, for that wheel.
All right, there she goes.
Gerber baby.
Spin that goddamn
Can you tell?
Wheel.
So Mark Wahlberg replaced you? I'm sorry to hear that. That's awful. That's awful.
What? Oh, where's it going? Oh, she's landed on free. Therefore, she can tell any story on
Trump's
wheel.
America.
Okay.
That's some pressure.
Free.
Which one are you going with?
I'm going to go with my mother. Yeah. Okay, so my mother's name is Olga Stolkrijdanis, and she is from the Netherlands. In fact, she came to this country when she was pregnant with me. And she had an accent, which I did not know till I was like 9 years old. Because I grew up with it. I heard it every day. I had no idea till one day these kids came over, and they started making fun of my mother. They were going, I said, what the fuck are you doing? They said, that's how your mom talks. I go, what? No. So then after that, I started hearing that she had an accent. She was single, she was Dutch, she was blonde, blue eyes, and whenever she had a date, I could tell how new the date was by how thick her accent was. She would lay it on. So I'd be in my room and I'd hear my mom in the living room being chased around by a guy, come here, you little Dutch treat. I don't know what this word means, fellatio. That's right, my mother was a Dutch whore. Thank you.
Jennifer Valley. Wow.
That's my favorite Judy Blume book, by the way. My mom was a Dutch whore. That's such a good one. So much better than Blubber.
What'd you think, Matt Oswalt?
I thought it was wonderful. I've judged Jennifer before. And
interesting.
She's the Barry Bonds of the... She just hits home runs every time she's up here. Just a delight.
Just a delight. Yeah, you gotta love her. All right. Danny Zucker?
I mean, the whorish mom is a real thematic thing happening here today. Yeah. No, I liked it. I remember, you think things are normal in your house until you are go. Like, I went to sleepaway camp when I was like 13, and they were serving, we had breakfast, and they were serving French toast. And I was like, this is crazy. We're having dinner for breakfast. My mom had convinced me that French toast was for dinner.
Wow.
Yeah, I was an idiot. Yeah,
that's
I know.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. Wasn't as good as your story, but
yeah.
But I'm not being judged. Great job.
All right, Jennifer Valley, you guys, let her hear it. Oh, Haley, what did you think of the show? What did you think?
Great.
You loved
keep
it.
Keep it going.
She's gone.
I'm out. Let's
that's
keep going.
Right. Okay, you
keep
guys, one more storyteller coming up right now for the 1 minute round. And that person, I knew who it is because they're the last one on the sheet. And this contestant is from my hometown of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So, points right there, everybody, points. But that's not why he's on the show. He is here because he's a talented comedian and an actor, and he's best known for his part in the Scorsese movie Goodfellas. Yeah, that's right. This guy was in Goodfellas, and hopefully we're going to hear all about it. Put your hands together now for Bob Gola. Bob. All right. Tell him what to do, guys.
Spin that wheel.
All right. Oh, vacation, vacation.
Okay, so I'm in prison. And I know it don't sound like a vacation, but I was in this prison. I was 91th inmate. And so we started a boxing program. So I went out and I boxed lifers. So I went to Western Penitentiary, which is in Pittsburgh, and it's Gothic. It's all maximum security prison. And then I went and fought this guy, and there's 1,500 inmates. I come out, and I'm like 19, but I look like 12. Like, I'll jump over 3 5 bitches and get your ass. Fuck you. I'm trying to act like I'm like, you know, not nervous. And this guy comes out. I swear to God, man, this motherfucker wasn't 135 pounds. Solid muscle, no teeth, bald head. I hit this guy about 6 times. It was hard, and I hit hard. He looked at me and goes, I'm going to kill you. He kicked the shit out of me. That's my story.
Bob Golub. Bob Golub talking about a some sort of a vacation in prison.
Vacation. Well, it was a vacation out of fucking prison.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear you.
Before I judge you, what were you in for? Was it an assault of a judge, say, or?
Actually, I was in for, you want to know the truth? I was a big pot dealer, and they busted me for coke. They set me up. But I felt I was like a job creator, because I had like a lot of people.
No, yeah. It's actually, yeah.
So and I actually went to prison for selling pot, and now I sell pot legally.
Great.
You figured that out.
What a beautiful story. Dun, 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 dun.
Danny, your mouth was hanging open the entire story. You realize that?
Yeah, I mean, I think in some ways you and I have had very different upbringings. I mean, obviously all people, there's more that connects us than divides us, but I was just sort of just listening. I could listen to you talk for a lot of time, and I think never be bored. So that was a fantastic story.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Haley Orentia.
I think you have a lot to say, and so I'm down to listen to more. But no, I think that was a great story, and I would have never thought of prison as vacation, but hey.
No. The prison wasn't a vacation. We went to the Cove, other places, which was a vacation, because we had to get out of the prison.
Yeah. Haley, don't backtalk
it's,
him.
Hey, it's
and all
unique.
The prisoners went to Hershey Park one weekend, and it was a lot of fun. So there's still lots of, you know. I have a question to ask you. So after you lost the fight, did you go to the infirmary?
No, actually, you really want to know how much time?
Of course we want to know.
Okay. Yeah, I want to know what happened.
Well, I went back to, they called where I was at. It was like at a country club. I was a 91th inmate. I was the first inmate. Like Z00 was my number, like a fucking radio station, right? Yeah. I go back 6 years later to do a stand-up in there. I found out that guy, they locked up 23-1. They only let him out to fight. And nobody would fight him because he killed 2 people with his hands. This is the fucking guy I fought. Yeah, he never lost a fight. And I found out, they go, hey.
Oh, my God.
You know what they called him? The animal. When they come out, 1,500 people, pound, animal, animal, animal. And I'm going, fuck, man. I had to act like I was nervous, you know.
Yeah. Wow.
No, I'll never forget. I got into quite the scrap with our butler. And he just snubbed me, and I was outraged.
And body slam you like the guy from Montana.
Yeah, exactly.
This kale is not locally sourced.
Exactly. And I,
what the hell?
I lost my excrement over this. I'm going to tell you.
All right, Bob Golub, let him hear it. Bob Golub. That was a great story. That was amazing. All right, you guys. Now, all 5 names are going to go back up into this jar, and we're going to start spinning the wheel now for the true 2-minute story. So it's twice the fun, yes? And, you know, who knows what's going to happen with Bob Golub? I don't know.
It's exciting.
Anything could happen. Oh, boy, guess who I pulled, you guys? Coming to the stage right now for a true 2-minute story is Bob Golub.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, here he comes again.
Did not have to wait long.
All right, guys, tell them.
Right there, people.
Tell them what to do.
That will.
All right, here he goes again.
What kind of damage did they do to you? They like you know, break your. What kind of damage did you get in the fight? Like, what break?
I'll tell you
in
a second.
All right.
This is a pre-story. Oh, shit, break up.
Break up.
Oh, my God. So I dated this girl. I lived in Staten Island. Her name, Ingeborg Hayashi. She's half Japanese and half German. I think she's still pissed off. She lost the war twice, right? No, listen to me. Fucking beautiful girl, man. She went to Smith College, all that shit. Fucking gorgeous, right? Smart, beautiful, fucking crazy. So we break up. This is God's truth. She comes over to my apartment. She wants to clean my apartment, right? So she finds a number. She goes, who's this? I go, well, you know, just someone. So, you know, she gets fucking mad. So we're sitting at the table. She goes, whose number's this? Well, why are you hiding it? And she hits me in the face with a cup.
Oh.
Now I'm bleeding like this, right? Now, normally someone hits me in the face with a cup, first reaction is to hit them back, right? But it's a woman. I'm not going to hit her. I said, look, I think you should leave. So my eye's bleeding. I get all gone. So we go, and Mike's here. He knows this. We went and played softball at the, shit, what's it called? At the, at the, no. Fuck you. It was, no, it was with the improv at the City Park in New York.
Okay.
Central Park. And so I'm there, and we're playing softball, and Larry David goes, hey, Golub, what happened to your eye? I said, my girlfriend hit me, or my ex-girlfriend hit me in the face with a cup, and I'm bleeding. And he goes, that's a fucking great story. Tell me more about that. I love that. When she hits you, how did you feel? Well, I felt fucking numb, Larry. I felt numb. What do you think how I felt? So we're not dating any longer.
Bob Golub. Bob Golub.
Bob
there
Golub,
it is.
Yeah.
Okay, a minute 33. Are you done?
Fuck, I could go on without a long
time. Oh, no. Stay here with us. Stay here with us. Do you have 30 more seconds of that story?
I could tell what she did. Another one, what she did with
That's
me.
All right. We got it. All right, we got it.
Seconds.
Danny Zucker.
I thought, like, obviously, you are a brave man. You've been hit in the face. You've been in jail. Perhaps the bravest thing you've done, and I think it takes a lot of courage to tell a story with no ending. I think that is... A lot of people are sort of married to the ending of a story.
Yeah.
And the fact that you could just flout that convention.
Yeah.
You're an outlier, Bob, is what I'm saying.
Matt
it was entertaining.
Oswald.
So how long did you and Amy Fisher date?
Her name was Ingeborg.
Oh, Ingeborg. Okay, okay.
We dated for 3 years. Yeah, everybody.
Did you break up with her after the coffee cup to the face incident? Was that at the end of it?
Her
that
ended trying to hit me with the car was.
You didn't give her a second chance because you know love sometimes.
I tried to
give
her a second
chance,
but she tried to run me over, and I said, "Fuck."
Well, love is a fickle mistress, my friend.
Yeah.
Wait, did she really try to run you over in a car?
I swear to God.
And then you broke up after that.
Yeah, I had no choice. I said, "Enough with this."
Yeah.
I go out and I see her sitting in the fucking car. It's raining. I go, "Holy shit!" It's like sitting out in the car. Yeah, it was crazy. It was like, got to be crazy. And I'm talking about a beautiful fucking girl here. Wow. I'm not talking about hot, you know. Everybody tried to hit that shit when I got done with her, you know, but like, not done with her, but, you know.
Now, wait, now, Haley, the Goldbergs taste place in Philadelphia. Do you think that maybe you could mine some of this material for your show?
Yeah, I don't know what you're doing on this next week, but I feel like we need to write in this character.
Totally
you're great at dodging fists and cups and cars,
yeah.
And I think that's a talent in and of itself.
I can totally see Wendy trying to run over Jeff Garland.
Absolutely.
In an episode. Yeah, that'd be great.
That sounds good. All right, Bob Golub, let him hear it, guys. Bob
Golub.
Great
job, Bob.
Hey, you know, I was thinking, Haley and Matt, you have something very much in common. Now, your real brother plays her fake brother on the Goldbergs.
Fake.
Wait a minute.
Your Israel
brother
narrates.
Narrates.
Oh, so
well,
I get
you
technically would
plays
play my
your,
brother.
Yeah.
You are so right.
He's like the 80s version of Daniel Stern from Wonder Years.
Wonder Years,
yes.
Yeah.
Or the 2000s version of Bob Saget.
Yeah.
Or How I Met Your Mother, which doesn't make any sense because he was a fully grown adult, Josh Radnor. Oh, I could go on for hours on this.
Wow. It's like you work in TV.
I got a tight 10 on this, guys.
Sorry about that.
You do. All right, you guys, come to the stage right now for a true two-minute story.
That was a good try, though. That was a good try.
Yeah, I tried
again. It's the one and only Jennifer Valley. Jennifer Valley. All right, you guys, tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
Are you still getting residual checks for the Gerber baby thing, or?
Like what?
Are you still getting residual checks for the Gerber baby thing? They stopped that.
There's been like thousands and thousands of Gerber babies.
Yeah, but you were the first Gerber baby. That's what makes you more special.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Hooking up.
Oh shit.
Oh boy.
Hooking up. Okay,
Let's
here
see
we
how
go.
That Gerber baby got busy.
Hooking up. Okay, I used to produce guest segments for this TV show. And the best guest you can get is someone who comes from the zoo, because zoo animals and the host, hilarity, right?
It's the greatest.
So I got a connection at the LA Zoo, and I'll just call him the zoo guy.
Okay.
And on the phone, it was very amiable. We got a snake, I think, on the first episode. It was hysterical. The host was scared. After that, I was like, oh, I got gold with the zoo guy, right?
Yeah.
So I keep calling him up, but now the phone calls are getting sexual. Whoa. Zoo guy's getting a little sexual, you know. He's going, hey, how about a snake in my pants? How about da-da-da-da-da? You know, getting very sexual, you know, thinking animals. So the next, I was actually falling for it. So he comes on another episode, and by now we're like, we have connections. Something's going to happen, right? So we both have, I have a walkie-talkie on, I'm producing. He's got the chick with the animal. And he pulls me into a dressing room, and he starts fucking making out with me. Woo! 5 minutes before, he's got me against the door, and he's like this, right? Little did I know, he had gum in his mouth. He took it out, had it above me like this on the wall. I get a walkie-talkie. Does anybody have eyes on Jennifer and the zoo guy? He drops it. The gum is on top of my head, and I have to get to stage. And it's stuck, okay? So I'm like, oh, fuck. Zoo guy, go. I'll figure something out. I'm like this. Oh, I just got a headache, you know. Oh, gosh, I'm going to walk around with gum on my head. Thank you. One of the producers was there, and she just gave me a hat. And I couldn't get the gum out till the end of the show. My fucking hooking up with a zoo guy got gum in my hair.
There's lots worse things, Jennifer, that a guy can put in your hair.
That's it.
And gum.
Okay? I hooked up with a zoo guy and got
gum.
Not
that I would have any experience with that, but.
Jennifer Valley, let her hear it, you guys. That was a great story. I mean, what else do you want? Stay here, Jennifer. Don't go anywhere.
No, face the music.
I mean, what? You have to face the music. Yeah, but there was so much going on in this story. Yeah. Zookeepers and a show, a television show, and gum.
And gum. Yeah.
Sounds like quite the animal.
Yeah, Haley, what do you think?
I get it. You know, you end up, the guy will throw some lines like the snake in my pants at you, and you're just mesmerized.
It happens.
And then it's later that you go, oh, why did I make out with him? I'm so sorry. I hope you didn't lose any hair over it, though.
No, it took ice and, you know.
It's a whole process. Well,
you put ice in your hair on the gum.
Someone help me.
I see.
Lesson learned, we leave him in the cage. Yeah.
So was Byron Allen jealous when this happened? Or?
Danny Zucker.
I almost don't want to share this story. I was in college with a girl, and I did have gum, but it was like kissing happened before I knew it was going to start happening.
Right.
And we're like on a couch, and I watch my gum. I'm trying to like you know, tuck it. It falls out, and I watch it go in her hair, and I don't say anything the whole time. And she left not knowing. And I feel like...
You weren't a zookeeper, were you?
I trained Shamu, and just sort of different. So I tortured the blackfish.
I have a talk show sexy story.
Let's hear your sexy story.
Jay Leno show back in the day, and I was an intern there, and there a fellow intern we were dating at the time, and it was her last day. She was going back to Ithaca College, and she's like, I've always wanted to have this like fantasy about having sex on Jay Leno's desk. It'd be like just a story to tell like years later. So the show ended one night, and we hung around for a couple hours, and you know, they turned the lights off in the studio. We went down there, and we jumped on Jay's desk, and the security guard yelled out, "Hey, what the hell are you guys doing that?" And we just booked it. So we were going to make love on Jay Leno's desk.
Wow. Yeah.
Very close, yeah.
That's
yeah.
amazing.
But I didn't put my gum out in her hair, you know? Because I respect women, that's why. No.
Jennifer Valley, let her hear it.
That is great.
That was a great story, wasn't it?
No.
Yeah, I thought it was really... Well, yours was good too, Matt, but you're not playing the game. All right, you guys, coming to the stage right now for a true two-minute story is the one and only Jason Stewart. Let him hear it.
Jason.
Okay, guys, tell him what to do.
Spin that wheel.
And this is the moment we've all been waiting for.
Oh, the audience.
Jason landed on audience. And that means, you know what that means. That means that one of you guys out there is going to throw out a story topic, and our judges will choose one of those topics. What do you want to hear? Hospitals, hand jobs, game shows, stocking, hook and picking?
No.
Pumpkin picking?
Nazi.
Pumpkin picking.
We'll pick Nazi.
No, come on. What else? No, we got that on the wheel. bar mitzvahs.
Oh, yes.
Hospitals.
He has a bar mitzvah
That's
story.
Too easy. Come on.
What do you
There's
think?
That. I like picked hand that one.
I don't know.
You guys are mean. This is a mean, angry
all
crowd.
Right, all right, all right. Come on now. Let's have some fun.
We'll give him bar mitzvah.
Oh, wow. I think that is so much nicer. I was going for hand jobs. But,
okay, I wasn't
if you get, if there, if there's a hand job at the bar mitzvah.
Can we combine them?
Yeah. All right, two-minute story, bar mitzvah.
All right, the year is 1971. I'm 13 years old. Yes, I look good for my age. Shut the fuck up. I'm willing to admit that I'm 50, but it's taken me 9 years. I am wearing a tweed suit, brown boots with buckles on them, and a red tie at an Orthodox Jewish temple called Shalom on Fairfax Boulevard. The reason we went there, it was 3 blocks from my house, and that's all my mother gave a shit about. And I did my bar mitzvah. I remember going in roller skates, and I remember going in there, and the Hebrew teacher, because I, you know, just didn't really like me, and I said, what does this mean? I need to know what this is. He's, shut up. Just do what I tell you to do. You don't need to know what it means. You're an idiot. So that was supposed to be the joke line. So I didn't. So because he said that to me, I decided that I am not going to learn Hebrew, and I'm going to do this phonetically. So I did my entire bar mitzvah phonetically. Wrote it out: Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam. I still don't know what the fuck that means. I wore the wrong suit, and they were so afraid of me that they made me read my brother's thank you speech. The Haftorah, yeah, we walked around with that. And then my aunt, my great aunt, who was literally, I think, 106, the whole time sat in the front row, hard of hearing, saying, who's going to cut the chicken? I'm not kidding. Who's going to cut the chicken? It's going to be about the chicken. My mother was there. She wore a beautiful ribbon suit with fur on the what are these called? Arms. Thank you. I'll be on your show. I don't care. And she wore that with a big tureen of curls and a long thing on the side and looked basically like a very attractive hooker. And all my friends wanted to have sex with her. And my girlfriend at the time, yeah, it could happen, gave me the Carole King album, of which I still have Tapestry that I still keep listening to. And that was the day that I became a man.
Whoa, Jason Stewart.
I was almost too late, baby.
I have never told that story in public, ever. And thank you for letting me do that. Who's the person who screamed bar mitzvah? Who did that?
That was exciting.
Thank
you. Matt Oswalt.
So do you have to memorize like something? I don't understand what bar mitzvahs are.
What you do is you read out of the Haftorah. You go to Hebrew school for like 10 years to learn this stuff. You read it. You don't understand what it is. You're way too young. You barely have pubic hair. And you have to say it in front of a whole group of people because this means that you were a man. But, you know, they died at 20 in those days.
Like,
they died at 20. That's the joke line. Okay. This is the dumbest audience. I'm sorry. Dumb. And they just hate Jews. I felt it in the pumpkin. Who said pumpkin? Who said pumpkin? That's just a Jew hater. Nobody says, who says pumpkin to a Jew?
Haley Orentia. Oh.
I thought it was a good story. I also love that you keep bringing back the whore mom conversation. Yeah. I feel like there's some...
I wish that she was here to hear that. Because, you know, when I was a kid, she walked down the block and the other wives would say, I'm not kidding, oh, hold on to your husbands. Here comes Gloria.
Wow.
Thank you.
That's amazing. I just have one comment.
Somebody just get married?
I think naming a temple Shalom is fucking lazy. That's like they should just call it Jews.
Who's here?
Jew House. Jews and things.
The temple's still there.
Yeah.
It's Ovel Shalom. Ovel.
Oh, okay. Because Shalom is...
I know.
It's so on the nose. Yeah. No offense. I'm Jewish, I can say that.
Papa, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Papa, can you hear me? Can you see me?
All right, Jason Stewart, let him
Thank
hear
you
it.
Very
Jason
much.
Stewart.
Thank
wow.
you, Yentl.
Another great story. Wow, we're just moving right along here, you guys.
Holy moly.
Doing great. We've got two more storytellers for the second round, and coming to the stage right now is our audience member.
Oh, my God.
Our audience member, whose name is.
Oh, Iris.
Iris, or I knew that.
Is
Iris.
It Iris.
Come on up, Iris.
Iris.
Iris or Iris?
Bunny.
There she goes. All right, you guys, tell her what to do.
It is. Spin that wheel.
There she goes. Wow, that's a spin.
Oi.
She didn't get the note.
Juani Maria van a la Playa. I know that one.
Where are you from, Iris, so we know?
What? Spain. I'm from
Spain. Spain, okay. That's what I thought. Yeah, okay.
From Spain, okay.
That's what I was going
to
say.
Iris, here we go. Oh, look at that.
Whatever you want.
Now, she landed on free, and so you can tell.
I can choose?
You
can
any
choose
one of those topics.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to choose. Did it start?
I haven't started yet.
Oh, okay. Should I say it?
Yes, say what you're going to talk about.
Pets.
Pets. She's going to talk about pets.
Pets. Just for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Stop stealing my lines, Jason.
Go ahead.
Okay, so when I was, 2 years ago, more or less, I decided to adopt a little dog. This kind of dog that, what? Is that a pet, right? Is that a pet, right? Pet? Yeah, okay. So then, what else? When she was very, very little, she was a puppy, I took her and then, I'm very clumsy, okay, let's say this. So I don't know why she was like, she was a little dog doing like, and then she fell down. I dropped her, I mean. And I broke her leg. So
this is hysterical.
I know. And then I was living on my own and I was super scared, like, oh wow, how irresponsible I am, and I don't know what to do. And she was like that, you know? Like completely a little dog. And then I said, okay, what should I do? And then I was wearing my pyjama, only my pyjama and no shoes, but I said, okay, I'm going out home and I'm going to ask for some help because I don't have a clue about what to do. And then there was a couple like making out, or how do you say when they are, you know? Yeah. And then I told them, please, sorry, I need some help because is there any bed where I can, I mean, it was 1 a.m. Everyone was sleeping. So they told me, okay, don't worry, because I was crying a lot, like, oh, I don't know what to do. What should I do with my dog, my little dog? And then they told me, no worries, she's not going to die, because I thought she was even going to die. I didn't have any idea. And then they took me to the vet, urgencias. And then I called also my parents, because I usually call them, like, oh, this happened to me. And then my parents came also to see me. And, yeah, that's the thing. Oh, this is not so funny.
It doesn't even matter. You're amazing to watch.
Exactly.
You could read the phone book.
All right, Iris. Way to go. Give it up for Iris. Amazing. Iris from Spain. Really making it happen. Matt Oswald, you can't keep your mouth closed.
I'm just glad the story didn't end with how you say euthanize.
All right.
But the dog, the dog, he was healed. Everything's fine. His leg was healed.
Now she's fine. She got better, and now she can walk.
Yes. And Trump deported it, right? Is that what happened? Okay.
Oh, Haley Orantia.
I think your ability to come up with a story so fast, especially when, you know, being from the audience and just coming right up here, that's very impressive.
Thank you.
And you're very entertaining to watch, no matter if it was a funny story or a sad story. Great. So it was great. Yeah.
Great, Haley. So
as a dog lover, I was deeply offended. No, this true story. I thought it was a great story. That's hard to do from the audience. You've charmed everybody, for sure. But I was tasked with watching my infant son at a point, and I
about to get dark.
It is. Well, it's okay. But the phone rang, and I was like, sort of like grabbing the phone and holding him. And I dropped him. And honestly, it wasn't. I didn't admit this till he got to like third grade and was like, the teachers were saying, we're thinking of skipping him ahead a class. And I was like, oh, great. Like, because I had thought, like, anytime he did anything stupid, I was like, I fucked him up. I did it.
Yeah.
And he turned out, he's super smart. And
So you knocked intelligence into
him. Yeah, I did not drop my daughters. Total idiots. So drop your kids is what
I'm saying.
All right,
you guys, let her hear it. Iris, way to go. Wow. She's just hitting it out of the ballpark.
She's a contender.
Doing a great job, and we've got one more storyteller coming up for a true story in this next round, the second round, two-minute story. Here she comes right now, you guys. Her name is Teresa Lowe. Woo. All right, tell her what to do, guys.
Spin that wheel.
All right, Teresa.
You've been first and last.
I'm going to try to go 45 seconds this time.
Look at that. She might land on free. That's a good sign for her.
Oh.
All right, Teresa.
Okay.
Oh,
okay, free.
You can choose any topic on the wheel.
I'm going to do school days.
School days.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I think I finally understand the clock. I'm trying to go. I'm going to do this. Okay. So when I was in college, my best friend had this roommate who was just completely awful. Like, the roommate hated him so much that he would lock his clothes in a suitcase and keep it in the closet and then lock that. And then he used my roommate, or not my roommate, my friend's computer, and then downloaded a bunch of porn on it. So this guy was just completely, completely awful. And so one time it was like the guy, he had been gone on the weekend. So me and my friend were just hanging out in the dorm room and we were watching Super Size Me, you know, that McDonald's movie or whatever. And Morgan Spurlock said that McDonald's food had so many preservatives that you could basically just leave it out for weeks and it would still be edible. And we really wanted to see if that was true. And so when the roommate was gone, we like were drunk one night. We're talking about this like documentary. We went out to McDonald's, got some food, and then we stuffed it underneath the roommate's bed. And like, so they had these bunk beds or whatever, and we just stuffed it in the bottom bunk, and then we just left it there. And so the roommate came back like from like the break or whatever, and he was like, "What's that funky smell?" But he just hated my friend so bad, he just assumed my friend just stunk. So we're like, "Well, whatever." And so we left this burger in there until the end of the semester, so for several months. And then, so the guy moves out, but we stay behind. We pull out the burger. It's still in the packaging. We unwrap the packaging, and the burger still smelled delicious. And we opened up the bun and there was no mold. The meat still looked good. The cheese was fine. And even the vegetables looked okay. And we wanted to eat it, but we were just too scared. We didn't eat it. But that didn't scare us from McDonald's. Instead, we're like, "Oh, that's good value. Yeah, we're going to come back."
Teresa Lowe.
Woo!
Wow, look at the time. She's exactly on 2 minutes.
Wow.
Now, her parents are here in the audience, and this is what they paid for.
Yeah.
What do you think, Danny?
Well, I mean, on a time level, total redemption. You got in at a second.
Right on the time, exactly.
I was really worried about you up front. I would have loved to see you feed, like, pretend that burger was great and then serve it to the roommate and say, "Hey, we got you some food." But I'm probably just more of a dick than you are.
Yeah, you're taking it to a whole other level,
yeah,
Danny.
I'm poisoning.
I mean, she's not going to poison anybody.
It took me on a journey.
Yeah, look how sweet she is. She's not going to do that. Haley?
I am so impressed by McDonald's, but disgusted at the same time because I haven't eaten that shit for years. So I have no idea what my insides look like now. But I thought that was a great story, and I think it's funny that you pulled that kind of prank.
Yeah, great prank, Matt.
No fries, though? Just the burger?
The fries wouldn't last under the bed, I don't think.
See, I've heard the fries will last, like, literally decades. Like,
no, they've been in the seat of my car, and they don't.
Oh, really? I heard they do. As far I know. Okay. No, there's a whole chapter in The Road where they're eating McDonald's french fries.
Ask Morgan Spurlock. He'll tell you.
Okay. That's a great story, though.
All right, you guys. Teresa Lowe. Let her hear it. Teresa Lowe. That was a great story. That was an amazing story. All right, you guys, now we're moving on to the third round, and this is when you guys have the very challenging job of choosing two of the names that are going to go back into the jar, and I'm telling you, this is not easy. The next two contestants are going to tell a true three-minute story, and you guys have 1 minute to decide. Put a minute on the clock. They have 1 minute to decide who goes on to the next round, and in the meantime, I want to give a big thanks to Rick in the back doing sound for me tonight. Thanks, Rick. There's a lot of elements that go on with this show, you guys, and I cannot possibly do it alone. I'd also like to give a big shout out to Jim Coughlin, sitting right here to my right. Jim Coughlin, bigger round of applause. He helps me every goddamn month. Thank you so much. This episode of Story Smash will be up on the Storyworthy podcast in just a couple of weeks. You can find Storyworthy on Apple Podcasts, you know, NPR One, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Yes? And, in fact, Story Smash will be back next month, March 23rd. It's a Saturday night. Adjust your clocks. Saturday night, 7 o'clock, March 23rd. Come back for that if you would. And we've got 10 seconds left. These guys are going to put two names back in the jar. And those folks are coming up for a true three-minute story. Are you excited? Are you having fun?
Yeah!
Yes, okay, I'm glad to hear that. Two names are back in the jar. Danny's gonna have a seat. And we are on task. Look at that. Change the clock. All right, you guys, this is tough, man. I'm telling you, every storyteller was good, right, you guys?
This was really hard.
How are you making your decision?
Well, Matt just bullied us because we had picked two different people.
You know.
But we said, okay, fine, Matt, if you're going to be that way, we'll pick these two. So
you don't get anywhere in life by just, like, you know, sitting. I read Trump's book, you know. Yeah. That's how you get it, you know. Got his push.
He hasn't read Trump's book.
I read Trump's tweets, which is kind of like the same thing.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. All right, you guys, true three-minute story. First person coming up for a true three-minute story is our audience member, Aris. Come on up, Aris. All right.
That is literally, I don't know about you, is this the first time an audience?
No, I think that's the second or third time that an audience member has been called
back. I wasn't here
then. This is very exciting, you
guys.
This
is like a Star Is Born moment. Yeah.
Well, what if she breaks into Shallow?
Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
If Bradley Cooper comes up, I'm in. All right, you guys, tell her what to do.
Spin that wheel.
There you go. Wow, here she goes. Three-minute story. If you would like to do this in two languages, please feel free.
Bob will do his in prison slang.
Oh, look at that. She's landing on school days.
Okay. Oh, dear. Okay, so this is my story. I was super nerdy, like the typical super nerdy women.
Yeah. She's perfect.
Pretty bad nerdy. No. And then, I don't really know what to say about this. This is not... Oh, okay. No, I don't really know what
you guys have some patience. Give her some time. Come on. You got it, Aris.
You're super nerdy.
You're super nerdy.
You know what? Everyone up here was nerdy too in school. So
I mean, the only thing that I can say is that everyone asked me my homework and everyone were copying everything. But this is not funny. This is not funny at all.
Did anything happen at school that was really
embarrassing? I have many, many stories, but I just don't remember now. You know,
you went to school in Spain?
I was, in Spain, okay. Of course. I just came for holidays here, so I'm going to talk about this, if you don't mind.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
so I came
while at school, you went on a holiday. And then what happened?
I sneezed, and the wheel suddenly went to holidays.
Holidays, yeah, exactly. So then I decided to come and visit my friend, who is an actress. But here I realized that everything is super hard and difficult, because she now is on an app. That this app means that she has to talk to people from all over the world and just be there talking and being sexy and dancing and cooking. And it's like, when I came to visit her, I thought she was actually working as an actress, but she's working on this app. And I am super impressed, so I just wanted to share this with you.
Wow.
because holidays, yeah, it's something related to it, I guess. And so, yes...
Was it porn?
Not for now, but I mean, if she
are you above the age of 18 before we go any further? I think we all need to know. Yeah.
No, if she's kind of sexy, then she gets tips. So it's kind of, tips. I mean,
this is totally porn. This is webcam porn.
I'm very scared and very worried. So
wow. Did you bring Melania with you tonight?
I still have 1 minute, so yeah.
So. Okay, Aris, let her hear it, you guys. Big applause. Come on. It is not easy to come up here.
That's tough.
That's hard.
If nothing is easy about what she's doing. If you could just say something about Donald Trump, anything, like as if you were Melania, because your voice just really, like fuck you, Donnie, like that.
Yeah.
Could you say that?
But
if I can say what?
Fuck you, Donnie.
Fuck you, Donnie.
Okay.
That's really
I think that's pretty good. I mean, honestly. All right,
but,
Matt.
You know, what a life lesson, though.
Yeah.
To come to this country thinking it's going to be wonderful and, you know, and instead sort of being this complete 360 and, you know, finding your friend doing this stuff. So
I know.
In a lot of ways, you've been educated, you know? I don't know.
School
days.
Really,
in a really creepy, yeah, exactly.
School days. Yeah, man.
I got to bring it back there somehow, but I think it is, yeah.
Okay, Haley?
Thank you.
Well, that reminds me a lot of my ex-boyfriend because he ended up talking to all these girls on webcam videos, so your friend must be making a shit ton of money. That's all I know. I think it's a funny story. That's not meant to be sad. I'm fine. But
look, this isn't easy, and I think that you proved that. Honestly, being mean is on brand, but it a little bit feels like kicking a puppy. So I'm not going to do that. Yeah. You are so charming. That is so hard to do.
Yeah.
And bravo for your.
Reese, let her hear it, man. Really, an amazing situation, and I enjoyed it.
Same here.
Yeah.
No, just the whole thing.
Making the best of it, you know?
All right, you guys, coming to the stage, this is the final storyteller of the night, and they're going to tell a true 3-minute story. And that person is the one and only Bob Golub. Bob! Woo-hoo!
Holy cow.
All right, you guys, tell them what to do. It's going to be about prison no matter what, so it really doesn't matter.
Do they have any apps in prison, Bob?
Spin it, Bob! You already have
that.
We
got break up. Spin again.
Spin it again. Again.
Really milking it, Bob.
It's free. That means he can talk about anything he'd like.
Well, I get the thing about the school.
You want to talk about school days? Didn't school you already days. Do that?
Yeah. No.
Oh, you didn't do that yet?
No, I didn't do it.
Okay, school days. Three minutes. 3 minutes, Bob.
3 minutes.
Okay.
Okay, 3 minutes. You guys ready?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. All right, so I went to a place called Sharon, Pennsylvania, right on the border, Pennsylvania, Ohio. And I was Steelers. And I was a 4-year letterman wrestler. I was a very good wrestler. But I was good. I mean, like 4-year letterman, right? You know, star wrestler. You think I'd be a woman's guy, but I wrestled 88 pounds. So I made weight as a freshman with my clothes, everything. I made weight at 88 pounds. So I was very small, but I was fucking good, you know. So about my sophomore year, I wasn't getting, first of all, I never got laid. Here I'm like, now it's let's go to my junior year. Still not getting laid, but now I'm wrestling 98. I'm a little bigger. The girl's like, oh, you're cute. Get the fuck, I'm cute. I don't want to be cute, I want to get laid, Well, no, it's what you want to do. And, I wanted to come in something besides my hand, I just wanted to, do something. Well, what the fuck? I'm being honest. Okay. So what happens is I find out, I won't mention her name, but I heard she likes, get laid. So we eat a Quaalude. And back in the 70s, you do Quaaludes, and she's, get high and get, And so, man, I think I got a shot because she said, hey, I got a lewd. I said, fuck that, right? So I'll never forget it. We're in a car, and it was really nice and warm, and I'm in that vagina, and I'm going, God, does this feel great? And I came, and I was, oh, my God. So the next day, I go to my buddy Jimmy May, who's a wrestler. I go, Jimmy, man, I got lucky last night with Gail Thomas. I'm changing her name. He goes, oh, really? I got VD off her. He goes, but don't worry about it. If it burns, just go by the hospital, get a shot, you'll be okay. Hell, I would go anyways. So now I'm a star wrestler. I'm really nervous to go. I don't want to go there. I'm like, I don't want people to know to see I'm going there, right? So what am I doing? I chickened out. I kept chickening out. And I told Fat Red, who was a local guy, he said, hey, man, VD's fucking kill you, man. It killed Al Capone. That's a bad motherfucker, right? So now I'm really nervous. I'm looking like pee, like it's going to, flame's going to shoot out of my penis, I don't know what to do, right? So I said, who can I trust? Let me trust my dad. Dad, I got to talk to you, man. Let me tell you what's going on. I got laid, and I got VD, and I got gonorrhea. He said, don't worry about it. Go get a shot. You'll be okay. I said, Dad, please don't tell anyone. So I come down the stairs. I'm one of eight kids. I come down the stairs. My whole family's going, I got a gonorrhea. I could not take a pee. Yeah, thanks, Dad, you prick.
Bob Golub, stay on stage with us. What kind of a father was that?
I just, you know, I think that, you know, people bemoan the decline of truly romantic stories. And you've proven that it's very much alive, my friend. You took me on a journey. You had the meet cute at the bar. It's not going to work out. You're worried about the family. And then you know what? You were right for each other. What you were looking for all along was right under your penis. So bravo, I'm sure. Never been so grateful my children weren't in the audience, but thank you so much.
You're welcome, man. Yeah.
All right, Haley Orentia.
Well, there are no words. I thought the story was going one way, and then it went a completely other direction, so you had the element of surprise
for
me.
Yeah, it zagged.
But, yeah.
And so did I.
Yeah. I know, yeah, you probably learned a lot in that experience.
Yeah. But yeah, wear a condom.
Exactly. If you learn anything tonight, everyone...
Wear a condom.
The more you know.
We are learning a lot. Matt Oswalt.
I feel like what we've really learned is that Iris's friend has the right idea. You'll never get VD or gonorrhea if you use a computer, to webcam. Yeah.
But they didn't have webcams in the 70s.
They're much more savvy about that sort of thing. Right. You know? They are. They really are. I'm sure your boyfriend knows about that.
Oh, he knows all about it. Yeah. No diseases there when there's a camera.
So at least your relationship didn't end with a trip to the clinic. That's the one good thing.
No, it ended to the trip to the courthouse.
Oh. Wait, Haley, is that true? So you caught... Really? Tell me, what happened there? You caught him cheating by going on websites? What was he doing?
He was stealing my money and buying, stuff for other women, and there was, escorts and things. You'll learn all about it in the news soon. But
no. Really? Can you imagine that, you guys? Somebody cheated on Haley Orentia. What's happening?
Thank you.
What is happening?
And none of you guys sell this to TMZ.
Give him a disease.
It stays in this room, guys.
Didn't give any.
That's right. What happens in the lab stays in the lab. That's what I've heard.
Nothing's fucking up.
It's all good.
All right, you guys. Bob Golub. Let him hear it. Bob Golub.
Yeah, Bob.
Wow.
Okay. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. You guys have quite a difficult decision in front of you right now.
Yeah.
So go ahead and put a minute on the clock. These guys are going to decide the winner of Story Smash tonight. But meantime, give a big round of applause to all the storytellers tonight. Jennifer Valley. Yeah. Jason Stewart, what an amazing guy. Teresa Lowe, she was great. Bob Golub, he's out of his mind. What a good time. And Aris, thank you so much, Aris, in the audience. Great night. Rick in the back, thanks so much. Matt over there. You guys, when the show's over, we're going to be in the bar next door. Come on over there. And I want to tell you one more quick thing. I got a minute. I got 30 seconds to tell you this. This show used to be called something called Shotgun Storyworthy. And I came up with that way back when, 2011, Shotgun Storyworthy. Wow. Because then, it was kind of like being under pressure. You know what I mean? Like being under the gun, shotgun, that kind of a thing, shotgun wedding. And if they went over their time, they would hear a gunshot going off. And that was super fun and effective for a while.
Yeah.
And now guns aren't funny anymore. And so we had to change the show. We had to change the show. We had to change, the way it ends. And guess who came up with the title Story Smash? Who came up with that? Right behind me. Matt Oswalt. Thank you, Matt Oswalt. That's just
waiting for my residual checks.
That's just a little fun fact.
I don't know if you heard, though, 30 people in Indiana were killed by a smash.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I deserve
troubled 14-year-old kid. Went into school one day.
So tell us how you guys came to your decision, because this is big. I mean, Aris,
I bullied
Bob,
them again.
You
I
bullied
just
them
of,
again?
They wanted one person, and I said, no, you're not leaving here with your teeth if you not vote for this person. They said, and they agreed.
So that's exactly what happened. Yeah, it was, I'll be honest, Iris was great, and I didn't think it could become close because, you kind of miss there, even though you're fantastic.
Yeah.
That as well. Yeah. Gorgeous.
Calm down. And then, and then it was weird because it really became, do we go with adorable Iris or reprehensible Bob.
Yeah. And this person, whoever you choose, is coming back next month to play again.
Oh. Wow.
So well,
that could alter
that
our decision.
Things. So,
yeah. All right.
You
well,
tell this. You go. You go,
Haley
Matt.
Or Antia, why don't you name the winner of Story Smash and come on up and let's get our picture
pressure.
Taken. Haley, who's the winner of Story Smash?
Well, due to staying on topic and the whole interesting surprise aspect of everything, we're going to go with Bob.
Bob Golub, you guys. Yeah. The winner of Story Smash is Bob Golub. Big round of applause for Danny Zucker, Haley Orentia, Matt Oswald. Come on up, Bob Golub. My name is Christine Blackburn. Good night, you guys. Great show. Great show. By the way, Bob gets my homemade chocolate chip cookies. Yay, Bob! Chocolate chip cookies is the prize. Turn around. You get cookies.
At the Bank of Antandek, mortgages are on the menu.
I was in the chippy last night, and it hit me.
Go on.
We should give all our new mortgage customers £1,000 of spuds.
Potatoes.
Yeah, jackets, roasties, dolphin wars. I mean, what's not to love?
Hey, yeah, we could call it
Mashback. Genius.
Meanwhile, at Santander, they're giving their customers £1,000 cash back on selected first-time buyer mortgages. See what's possible at Santander.
Lending subject to status and criteria. Cashback given on completion and repayable if mortgage closed within 2 years. Offer can be withdrawn. Your home may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage.